Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though we have 1099 problems, Battleborn Tech isn't one of them. Broadcasting every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1 Carson City, while streaming live and later on demand at knbc.org. Wondering if podcasts need to be rewound after listening? Call Battleborn Tech, 775-241-3571. The default PIN for tech access, I'll tell you, it's 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the hosts and callers. This week, we welcome Art, Annabelle, and Lee. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Core. KNVC makes it sound good. Computer Cores makes it work. Battleborn Tech makes you feel less alone.
Well, Christy, before we started hitting the air here, you mentioned a little hair on fire hacking story that we need to touch on.
Yeah, this is not going to help that even if you wear your Under Armour. Yes, Under Armour are one of our wonderful clothing manufacturers. And back in November, lost 72 million customer records. And we say, oh my gosh, that's bad, but it's worse. It gets worse. They publish the database throughout the dark net. So hackers have it. Anyone have it. If you look hard, you could probably have it. Now, 72, there's no financial stuff there, but you know, it's got full names, email address, phone numbers, physical locations, genders, personal purchase history, and preferences. I assume that's preferences on, I don't know, what. How do you like? You like the dark option for the website, that kind of stuff. If you're, you know, they sit on this a while, then after a while they start saying, hey, your Under Armour account needs updated, or whatever they're going to use with that information to fish you into clicking something that you're going to regret a lot later.
Not to mention it's doxing a whole bunch of, you know, high profile athletic people, military people. Yeah, it's a lot of people wear that Under Armour. So check it out if you use Under Armour products. Well, we got three phone calls today, and I think we're going to kick it off with our Wizard of Linux himself. It's Lee again, and he's diving into the tiny little computer known as a Raspberry Pi. And that's a computer, not a dessert.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hi, Christy. This is Lee again.
Lee.
Coming back just like a bad penny.
That's fine. You got a wealth of good questions. So what's going on this week?
Okay, so I got this Linux Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
And I've got it set up on, I've got a great monitor in front of me, so it looks like a thousand times better than my old laptop. But I wanted to, I'm not getting any sound out of it. I mean, I play a YouTube something or music, trying to get the sound going. That's what
okay,
I'm
okay. Well, there's many flavors of raspberry, even though it should all taste like raspberry. I don't know how to go with that. So which raspberry do you got?
It's a Raspberry Pi 500.
Okay, so that's the one built into a keyboard, kind of, sort of.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, my first computer actually was a NEC, an NEC, and that computer was built into a keyboard too. So, anywho. The fun thing about that, which you've discovered, is that particular Raspberry Pi does not have the good old 3.5 millimeter audio output jack. You probably figured that out.
That's correct, yeah.
There you go, that'll get you. Well, there's several things good. Because it's the Raspberry Pi, of course, there's all sorts of options. That's the whole idea of Raspberry Pi. The simplest, stupidest one, so you got a monitor, you said. I heard the word monitor, and you're running that with HDMI. right?
Yes, right. HDMI.
Okay.
This is a trapezoid kind of plug.
Yeah. Good thing. Yeah. They have the small one that goes to the big one. Yeah. Okay. So, good news is, monitor looks great. However, not all monitors have sound. Now, HDMI has sound. Now, you could get a very old laptop, and the first couple laptops with HDMI didn't put the sound on HDMI. But Raspberry Pi puts the sound on the HDMI, so because they're thinking sort of that you're plugging it into a TV. And if you plug it into the TV, you got the sound, and away you go. Now you're going to have to, of course, the same old system options, audio, and switch to HDMI sound. If your monitor may or may not have sound, it just depends. But do go ahead and check in system options, audio, advanced options, audio, depending on the OS, somewhere in there, and make sure to select that HDMI. And if your monitor has speakers, sound capability, well, there's no extra stuff. Another thing you do is that Raspberry Pi 500 has got two HDMI outs. Is that right, Matt?
Yes.
Well, you could plug in HDMI. There are HDMI speakers. That's all aware. But if you got a TV laying around, if you got a TV laying around, you can plug that into the other one, look at the monitor, and listen to the other one. I mean, those, if you got, you know, that's cheap. Another thing is, there's a lot of USB plugins for audio. And, I mean, you can get those at a computer shop, or you can get them online. And what those do, they plug a USB. USB does everything. So you plug in a USB, boom, boom, boom. You got an audio output, the old 3.5 millimeter. And if it almost assuredly will work with the Raspberry Pi. We would be very surprised if it doesn't. We'd have to work a little bit on that. You may have to do that. The other thing is, and there are some things you can list audio devices with the good old terminal and bash with A-Play and /L for A-Play list. You can do that. And Raspberry Config if you're into the terminal. But you can also do that in the system menus.
Hang on just a minute. Go back to, so I'm supposed to go look at the system and decide to make sure that it shows the audio through HDMI.
Yeah, that'd be great. If that was the only problem and then the sound started to come out of your monitor, that'd be super.
Ooh. I'm looking at the little Raspberry Pi menu here.
Yeah.
Programming, office, internet, sound, and video. And when I click on sound and video, it says VLC Media Player. What's that?
Okay, well, that's who's doing app is going to be running sound and video. You want to go into system options somewhere. Really can't do the menus on the radio. It's only a half hour show. But system options and, where did the audio go? Now, you got to check to see if your monitor has sound. It may not have speakers. So,
I'll research it some more. You got plenty of options here. I'm sure I can get at least one to work.
And there's one more. You can actually, the Raspberry Pi 500 does have the extension, the little pins in the back. Have you seen those? The little strange pins coming out on the back of it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you can plug in boards for that. But that's more that's a little bit more for, crazy, broadcasts, or you're doing studio signs and all that. And I think the Raspberry Pi also has Bluetooth, so you could check into that. It may be an add-on, but you might have Bluetooth on that, and that'd be more for Bluetooth speakers or headphones. Okay.
Well, that would be that could be coming real handy. Okay.
Yeah. So check out for Bluetooth. Check out where the audio is actually going. Check out to see if your HDMI monitor actually has sound, and consider adding or replacing that with a TV with HDMI.
I will do that. I just happen to have an oldie but goodie.
All right.
Okay.
I hope you're listening. You'll listen, get up on the internet, knvc.org, and listen to the show on your Raspberry Pi.
I will do that. I love the Saturday morning exploration show.
Oh, excellent. I will pass that along. All right. Thanks for calling, Lee, and we look forward to your next call.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Raspberry Pi is a very interesting form factor. It reminds me of my first computer, NEC PC8001A. Yes, the computer was built into the keyboard, of all things, and that's the way Raspberry Pi 500 is. Now, it's got a lot of connections going out, including the hat, the little pins to put a hat on it, a little extra, but it does not have sound. It doesn't have a sound connector, a 3.5 pin. The Raspberry Pi assumes the sounds go out over the HDMI unless you tell it. Now, HDMI is not just for video. It's high-definition multimedia interface. Multimedia interface, which means the sound comes out as well. Now, if you don't hear anything, first check your monitor actually has speakers, as we talked about with Lee. And not only that, check out all those volumes. There might be a volume somewhere you're missing. And so it's working. You just can't hear it. So check out the volume. And then, of course, dive into the audio output setting on the Pi. Those are all over the place. Good luck on finding that menu. But if you can, if you've gone through all that and say, there's no, I got a great monitor, but there's no speakers, whatever. Hey, a cheap USB audio adapter usually fixes it fast. This is just a USB plug on one little dongle. On the other side, you usually have a microphone and one of that 3.5 jack you've been looking for. That is the second best if you can't get HDMI working. The third best, there's Bluetooth. Okay, now Bluetooth kind of works. However, it is not happy marrying up with video. It's got some latency, which means you're going to think it's a dubbed video, that the mouths don't match the video, the sound, because of latencies. Now, they've worked on that. They've got some couple low latencies. They got low latency and even better adaptive. Both computer and the headphones got to support them. It's fine for music, because who cares about a lag? But for video, games, wired audio and HDMI will always be better.
Yes, it is. I hate Bluetooth audio. Just hate it. And I actually said that about 5 minutes ago. So talk about some lag. All right. We've got Annabelle here. Welcome, Annabelle, first-time caller. And she is diving into Wi-Fi passwords.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Annabelle.
Hey, Annabelle.
I was having trouble with getting my laptop hooked up to the Internet.
Okay.
And I realized that AT&T had given me a new router.
Oh, no. Those sneaky people. Maybe it was a better router. Let's say it's a better router.
Yes, so I wouldn't, you know, it has a password on that.
Oh, yeah. They're big on passwords,
And oh, my God, is it complicated? It's worse than, your auto registration, vehicle identification number, right?
Yeah, the VIN, numbers and letters, and you got to get the capitalization right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, and the symbols and all that jazz. Well, come to find out that I got to call AT&T and tell them that didn't work.
Okay.
And so somewhere, either I did or somebody did, or the technician who set it up put in a simpler password, because you can go in and change them.
Oh, really? The tech would do that for you?
Nice. So now I've got to call them, and that'll help me. Yeah, because I picked up my little laptop this evening and went to use it, and it said it wasn't connected to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, oh yeah, because they put the new Wi-Fi.
I have full coverage with my iPhone.
Okay.
But my iPad, for some reason, and they couldn't find the, it found it, but it couldn't, I had to put in the password, and it Yeah, so.
So did you get it working? Did you get with the simple password?
No, I'll have to. They told me call back tomorrow, you know, during regular business hours. Right?
But you're able to put in the password to your phone?
My phone, you know how these smartphones and these iPhones, they remember.
Well, yeah, the phone might be picking up a cell internet and not your internet from home. So
you're gonna
you're going to want to make sure you take on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and so I was checking my phone to see if I could get the password off the phone to put on the iPad.
That's a good
idea. And it's all coded out so you can't read it.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking your phone's on the cellular network, and that password's from the old router, so I don't got to help you. Yeah, you're definitely going to, when you get a new router, you're definitely going to have to put in a new password to all your devices.
Yeah.
Now Amazon and their little Alexa stuff and craziness, they share the password, so, but other than that, it's pretty much everyone.
I had gotten the Roku.
That's another one.
Had burn up, and so they Amazon sent me out a new Roku.
Okay.
Well, we couldn't get the new Roku to work.
Okay.
And I was on the phone for 2 hours with Amazon.
Oh, man. It's usually Amazon's, unless you can buy a Roku, I imagine, but usually Amazon has
fire. Yeah, my husband had bought this Roku and it set the system up. And
could be a Fire TV. Would it be a Fire Stick from Amazon?
No, it is the Roku. It's a funny little box.
Okay, well, I think you've narrowed it down. You definitely need to, you know, figuring out that, I got a new router. Well, then I guess they don't tell you, you got to go around and change your password on everything. That's a key thing when they switched out your router. They should have told you that.
Yeah.
All right, Annabelle. Yeah. Hey, when you get online, give us a call back and just a little, hey, you, I got it going, and we can all be happy for you.
Yeah.
All right. Hey,
well,
thanks.
Appreciate your help.
All right.
Too.
Hey, thanks for calling. Batterborn Tech.
You have a good one.
You do. Bye-bye.
Now, I didn't talk about this with Annabelle, but because, you know, she had enough on her mind. But there are apps that promise to reveal passwords. Don't use them. They, at best, they're non-working scams and illegal if they can magically do their work, which they won't. Usually, they just show you a bunch of information that's flying out in the public anyway. SSID, service set identifier, just the name of the Wi-Fi, whether it's cloaked or not, they can pick those up, 32 characters. If you remember, you might see an FBI surveillance van if you're scanning the 2000s. Now, the SSID and Wi-Fi passwords are usually on the router label. That's the box where the internet comes into your house. You can either just take a picture and enter it. You probably want to delete that picture later in case somehow that picture gets away from you. If you have a recent Android device with password saved, its network settings that strangely share has a QR code. But if you look under that QR code, you'll see a password printed under it. So if you already have it on your phone, you can get it on other devices with the QR code or just copying down and reading. iPhones have the setting Wi-Fi edit at top right. You go to edit at the top right. There's a little letter I to tap and to be shown the password. Now, both of these things will ask you to re-authenticate Face ID in the Apple or some kind of screen unlock password for them to show you the password. So a little bit. And, of course, Macs has that keychain, and they have a share function as well. When to finally round it up, Windows has Manage Known Networks and a straightforward button that says show. You click the show and the button on the one you choose.
Well, we got another phone call here, the last phone call of the day. And I found this very interesting, for which we will discuss after this phone call. This is Art. And Art is talking about sideloading into Android. And if you don't know what that is, pay close attention and you'll know soon enough.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Art, and
hey, Art.
You know, I recently purchased a Samsung tablet.
Okay.
And Android tablet because I want to use it for music, but the idea was to go with Android and not have to be slave to Google or you know, and all their stuff in Chrome. So what I did is I got this tablet. I disabled all the Google and all the Chrome stuff.
Okay.
And
and what about And what about the store? Are you leading up to the store or?
Oh yeah, well yeah. So what I did is in the process of doing that, I wasn't able to load Firefox.
What you're saying is that you want a Google free Android phone, and so you took off store, which is like a key thing to having Google free phone. And but now you need Firefox on your tablet, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, so good news. There's a way to get that. Firefox Mozilla, which is behind Firefox, actually has what's called an APK. Now those APK allows you are what is used to on the on the Windows world is exe file or the older com files. Those are the executable that actually means actually runs the program. So you can go get that. Now Firefox, they got to watch. Firefox keeps it in different places, and it's changed over the years. So sometimes if you just do a random Google, you're going to find out some old APKs, and you want the Android APK, and you're going to want it's not really friendly. It's on an old FTP directory, not the friendliest. The one I find, they call it Phoenix, F-E-N-I-X, Phoenix. Okay, I made a shortcut at bbtl.ink/Firefox APK, which allows you to go right to the where you need to get the download. Now you download that APK, and that's going to be in your files download on your tablet. And you got to do two security settings. You got to allow rogue programs or allow programs from unknown or any source. You got to change that setting. You also have to, after you change that setting, it asks you again, okay, which particular app is allowed to do that? And the app you want to have permission to do the installation of APK is your download app, your files app. So you have to do those two security things. And you can, when you do that, when you download into files, APK, it's ftp.mozilla.org/pub/phoenix/releases. And the higher numbers are, the better. I mean, can't give you a direct link because they keep getting higher and higher. You know, Firefox is up to.
Right.
I'm looking today, they're at like 148. So you want to take a look at that. So if you're not seeing 148, you're in an old directory. Okay. Those three things will get you over and get you the Firefox. Now, in the future, you want to have you checked out F-Droid? F-Droid.
No, I haven't.
Okay. F-Droid does what they are trying to be. The Google Store without Google. They're trying to give you free and open source apps so you can get them on your tablet, on your Android phone. And that's F-Droid. And now, I mean, they're not as polished and they're not the same as, commercial or mainline things, but they do work. I mean, they got different browsers on there. One of the browsers they got is DuckDuckGo, and people like that. It gives you a familiar experience, if you want to do that. So you got to sideload F-Droid. You got to bring down F-Droid. Same thing, APK, F-Droid.org. It's a little easier because they got a little QR code for you to click. F-Droid.org.
Right.
You do that and, click that in, and then that gives you like an alternate store, if you will, but alternate apps. So you put that, you allowed F-Droid to download stuff, You install it. You got to do install it from the file download, then run that and allow it permission to download stuff. And you can get stuff like the DuckDuckGo browsers and all sorts of apps and things that you can look at. And if you're going to go without Google Play Store, you probably want to check out F-Droid.
Okay, right. That sounds good. That sounds
right.
Like a plan.
All right, all okay. Right. Well, happy browsing and Google free, and thanks for calling Battleborn Tech.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Doc. Bye-bye.
APK is Android Package Kit, and different tablets move that setting around to allow unknown apps getting. But one of the important things is I don't know how it's going to affect F-Droid, but Google wants to know who's making packages. They're not going to figure out who what's inside the package, but they're going to want developers to register with a Duns and Bradstreet number, no less, before they let you install a package, which they're not going to check. So watch out for that. That's coming toward the end of the year. Not in the U.S. first, but I hear the drums are beating that you're not going to be an anonymous developer to put things on Android, although they're not going to check what you put. I'd rather go the other way. Check what I put on, but let me be anonymous, but that's not the way it goes.
Well, Christy, I think we've come to the end of our show. How about some words of wisdom heading out?
This has been Battleborn Tech. Call or text 775-241-3571 anytime from anywhere. Thanks to our callers, Lee, Annabelle, and Art. Want to be like them? Leave a message at 775-241-3571 and give us a good time period window to call you back to record some tech help for our later show, 775-241-3571. For consulting and tutorials, visit your local neighborhood computer shop, Carson City Library's Tech Busters every Monday at 3 p.m., Carson City Senior Center's Tech Help midday on weekdays, or a computer user group like CarsonCityLinux.org, meeting third Saturdays at Computer Core in Carson City. Theme music is by Break Master Cylinder. That's break, like a motherboard capacitor in 2003. Without our engineer, Joe Bly, this would just be noise with opinions. Produced by Christy Ramsey, who screens calls like Barbara Streisand's blurs photos. Ex post facto checking by Anthony, who fixes our repairs. Notice some of our jokes are courtesy of ChatGPT. Don't get mad, get even by asking it to list all the coffee options at Starfleet Academy. Battleborn Tech reminder, KNVC is a community, nonprofit, volunteer, radio station, no government funding, no corporate overloads, just people like you keeping the lights on and the mics working. If you value that, visit knvc.org and click donate. Our email is questions@battleborn.tech. That's questions with an S and T-E-C-H. Our latest links are bbtl.ink/stats. Get the links you missed there. bbtl.ink/STATS. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Carefully review this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at KNVC in the local programs section or bbtl.ink/shows. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific right here on KNVC FM 95.1.